RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo inaugurates peace report in Makassar. Government focuses on domestic-made defense equipment. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo inaugurated UNTIA peace report in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Saturday morning. He and his entourage arrived at the seaport located on Jalan Saladun, UNTIA, Makassar around 9 a.m. local time. Previously, South Sulawesi Governor Syahrul Yassin Limpo said that the construction of the port has been planned since 10 years ago and it was completed in 2016. He stated that this is the second biggest port in Indonesia and can accommodate at least 500 vessels every day and is equipped with adequate facilities including a fuel refill station. Governor Syahrul also hopes that the seaport can accelerate all fishermen activities in South Sulawesi, considering that Makassar state has many potential fishery resources worth trillions of rupiah. President Joko Widodo has called for a serious effort to attract at least 10 million Chinese tourists to visit Indonesia per year. The president remarked that he has signed an agreement with the Chinese government related to Chinese tourist visit to Indonesia. He explained that the agreement has been in place. They only prefer flights from China to Indonesia. If the flights are already there, the target of attracting 20 million tourists can be achieved in 2019. The government is developing 10 key tourist destinations expected to attract more tourists. He stated that the target of tourist arrivals 2 years ago was 9 million. He wants to increase the target to 20 million in 2019 by all available means, including improving Indonesian positioning, diversifying products, and building brands. He added that to achieve the target, the government continued to carry out tourism promotion in major cities abroad. Defense Minister Michelle Chudo underlined that the government is committed in prioritizing domestic-made primary defense equipment system or ALUP system. Recently, domestic aircraft manufacturer PT Dirgantara Indonesia has delivered over 2 out of 6 of full combat SAR mission EC-725 helicopters ordered by the Minister of Defense to be used by the Indonesian Army Air Force. Minister Michelle also said that Indonesia will start producing a number of its primary defense equipment systems. In the next 2 years, Indonesia hopes to produce submarines. However, Minister Michelle admitted that there are some defense equipment that Indonesia has to purchase from foreign countries, for example, the Sukhoi fighter plane and the submarine from Russia. The Jakarta Department of Population Civil Registration opens a public service of EID, electronic ID cards, at the Old Urban Village office in the capital on Saturday. Sianturi, the agency, had said that service opens from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. and he asked the residents to join the service. He stated that the agency also opens the mobile service in several areas from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. He added that they will open the service at Tanah Tinggi, Johor Bahru, Central Jakarta, Next, the survey also opened in Sunter Agung, Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta, Kamal Kalidres, West Jakarta, Pondok Pinang, Kebayoran Lama, and Jagakarsa, South Jakarta. In East Jakarta is a station in Rawa Bebek, Flat and Setu Urban Village, Cipayung. Following the success of its two previous iterations, Google's Launchpad Accelerator, a program to equip founders with the mentorship and equity fee support, has recruited 6 startups from Indonesia for a 3rd edition, which is set to start at the beginning of January 2017. Among the startups recruited, there are Snapchat, Clue, IG Grow, Journal, Mapant, Oruma, and Big Mix. The program's third batch will commence in January. 30 at the Launchpad Space in San Francisco, a Google arena in which developers and startups will receive free technical training, individual mentorship, and other forms of educational access to ensure the success in the launch of their own application or startups. Indonesian badminton mixed double pair Prapan Jordan Devi Susanto stomped into the semifinal of Hong Kong Open after beating host pair Lee Chun Hei Reginald Chow Hui Hua in a 55-minute clash on Friday. In the first game, Prapan Devi admitted that they were under pressure. In the semi-final, Prapan Devi will take on South Korean pair Choi Sul Kyu and Choi Yung Yung. The South Korean pair beat the Indonesian pair at the quarterfinal of China Open last week. In the meantime, another Indonesian mixed double pair who is an Olympic champion, Ahmad Tantowi Liliana Natsir, also reached the semi-final after beating China's pair Liu Cheng Liu Yunghe 21-13, 21-14 in just 27 minutes. In the semi-final, Tantowi Liliana will face host pair Tan Chun Mant Shang Yung Shut, who defeated English pair Chris Adcott and Gabriel Adcott 21-19, 22-20. Prapan Devi and Tantowi Liliana can meet in the final if they can defeat their opponents in the semifinal. Banten Beach Festival 2016 is an annual event organized by the Governor of Banten Province, which aims to highlight various cultures from 4 regions across Banten Province. The implementation of Banten Beach Festival this year takes place on Western Beach, Anyer, on 20 Beach until 27 November. Related to the implementation, head of the Tourism and Culture of Banten Province, Rohendi, said to the Voice of Indonesia on Western Beach on Friday that there are some events of art to be performed. But when jointly implemented events, all are creative based on the result of the local tradition. Definitely, Tangeran is based on Choket tradition and Pandeglang with Angpak drum. Those are the potential, but we direct the same team. If calculated, there are 8 types of art that appear here. They are different arts with different creations and the same team. That's the traditional one. For the modern one, we saw Momonon group reggae, which is very famous in Banten. In addition to showing the diversity of Banten's art, Rohendi also said that the committee also organizes culinary festival and souvenirs from various regions across Banten. Tourism and Culture Service of Banten collaborates with the Association of Banten Province Industry and Business Communities, ASIPA Banten Province, which supports many small medium enterprises activities. Rohendi hopes that by holding Banten Beach Festival, the activity of a small medium enterprises and other entrepreneurs are assisted and encouraged to increase production. The last item, Banten Beach Festival 2016, that's taking place in Winston Beach, is a grand event organized by Banten Provincial Government as the series of commemoration of the 16th year establishment of Banten Province. Besides performing cultural attraction, this festival also introduces tourism places in Banten. Head of the Tourism and Culture of Banten Province, Opar Bosori, after attending the opening of this festival on Friday, said that Banten Beach Festival is about the concept of Seven Wonderful Banten. Seven Wonderful Banten are Cisadane Festival, Banten Kaibon, Ruin of the Banten Palace, and the Grand Mosque of Banten. Anyer Beach is Lighthouse, Japanese Rhino, Simba Badui Art Festival, and the last is Sawarna Beach. He added that Banten Beach Festival is part of Banten Tourism Promotion event in November. Previously, the administration also held tourism promotion in Tangerang City, namely Tourism Sparkling and Tanjung Lesung Labuan. Besides, he also said that Banten administration is optimistic that they can introduce Banten to both nationally and internationally and will improve the economy of Banten people later on. That's news of the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
At the Reward Service Voice of the Nation with Press Review. Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, 25th November, the paper wrote "Faith in Democracy." The noise in the social media related to the development of the political situation in the country is a test of the Indonesian people against the democratic system. Indonesian democracy is still young. It is only 18 years after the reform movement ending the New Order regime in 1998. The governor of the National Resilience Defense Institute, Agus Wijoyo, when launching the National Resistance Index in Jakarta, cited the opinion of political scientist John Lins on the theory of democratic transition. Lins said that democracy is consolidated if it is believed to be the only game in town. Recent political discourse, such as the emerge of such issues like treason, power taking and mobilization, mass power as a pressure group, shows the immaturity of democracy in Indonesia. Although the issue is debatable, the fact that it still came up shows there is still a small group of people who don't believe in democracy as the only game in town. In Lin's theory, all the nation's problems must be solved by a dignified manner by using all the instruments of democracy, such as political parties to channel public aspirations and aggrediting people's interests and making the parliament as a way to control the power. The political parties and the parliament should serve to channel the aspirations of the people to control the executive. According to this newspaper, all parties encourage the political elite to sit at the same table to reduce prejudice and preconceptions that raises suspicions. The nation needs statements who are commit and think about the future of the nation. The elite meetings will strengthen Indonesia's cohesion as a nation, try to be split by irresponsible social media players. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Wednesday, November 23rd, wrote "Never give in to disruptions." Political development these days is a true test for the nation's adherence to the consensus of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia, or NKRI, and diversity. These are the wishes of the founders of this republic to bring together all elements of the country with all their plurality and diversity in one frame of nationality. Adhering to the consensus, especially in the context of the nation, is absolute. The struggle to embrace and respect diversity is not easy nor cheap. Much is at stake when the people of Indonesia agreed on those two into one consensus that should be kept in tightly. Therefore, when there was initiative or certain parties who want to spoil the harmony and at once undermine the unity that has been built on the foundation of the Republic of Indonesia and the diversity, it is the responsibility of all to stop it. At a time where there are some people who interpret the concept of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia, or NKRI, wrongly and want to replace it with what they believe is right, it is the people's duty to remind them. The state clearly must not lose against anything or anyone who tried to tear the unity, including those, according to National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian, trying to exploit the current situation to bring down the government. In this perspective, all parties really appreciate the words of President Joko Widodo, who continued to meet up with the political elites to reduce political tension that admittedly is increasingly heated in recent weeks. In these meetings, the president also reminded once again the importance of reinforcing the spirit of pluralism and diversity that characterizes and unites the people of Indonesia. The president's political communication coming up as a relief, though still limited at the elite level. Therefore, it is fitting that the government continues efforts to establish a more fluid political communication with the people. That was Press Review.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. It's nice to meet you again and our daily program Today in History offer our rival service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. While we begin our program with an event that happened on November 26, 1965, when Asteris, the first French satellite, was launched. Asteris, the first French satellite, was launched on November 26, 1965 by a Diamond A rocket from Hamegua, Algeria. With Asteris, France became the sixth country to have an artificial satellite in orbit. The satellite was originally designated A1 as the French Army's first satellite, but later renamed after the popular French comics character Asterix. Due to the relatively high altitude of its orbit, it is not expected to re-enter Earth's atmosphere for several centuries. The next event was in 1990 when Lee Kuan-Yew was replaced by Goh Chok-Tong. Lee Kuan-Yew, born Henry Lee Kuan-Yew, 16 September 1923, 23rd March until 23rd March 2015, informally known by his initial, LKY, was the first Prime Minister of Singapore government for three decades. Lee is recognized as the nation's founding father, with the country described as a transitioning from the Third World to the First World in a single generation under his leadership. Lee was a graduate from Fitzwilliam College, Cambridge University, with double start first class honor in law. In 1950, he became a barrister of the Middle Temple and practiced law until 1959. Lee co-founded the People Action Party, PAP, in 1954 and was its first secretary general until 1992. Leading the party to 8 consecutive victories, after Lee chose to step down as Prime Minister in 1990, he served as a senior minister under his successor Goh Chok-Tong until 2004. Well, listener, the last event was in 2011 when the Kutai Kartanegara Bridge collapsed. The Kutai Kartanegara Bridge, also known as the Mahakant 2 Bridge, was an Indonesian suspension bridge that was located on the island of Borneo in East Kalimantan, crossing the Mahakant River and connecting Tenggarong and Samarinda. The 710-meter-long bridge, which featured a 270-meter-long suspended section, was intended to resemble San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. The construction of the bridge commenced in 1995 and was completed in 2001. It was the longest suspension bridge in Indonesia. On 26 November 2011, the bridge collapsed only 10 years after it was completed, killing at least 20 people and injuring 40. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is our Reward Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on Indonesia starts exporting wood products to European Union. Indonesia is now entitled to issue license for the sale of food products to the European Union. The right was achieved after long negotiations to the European Union following the voluntary partnership agreement signed in 2013 and its ratification in 2014. Until now, Indonesia has issued 845 licenses of Orange Law Enforcement of Government and Trade, or FLEGT, for exports of food products to the European Union worth $24.96 million in just over a week from 15 to 23 November 2016. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution in the national celebration launch of FLEGT Indonesia in Jakarta Thursday 24 November stated that the license for export to 24 countries in the European Union consists of panel products, furniture, woodworking, craft, chips, paper and utensils worth $25 million. He disclosed that panel products rank first in export of FLEGT licensed products with a value of $11.92 million, followed by furniture valued at $7.25 million. Minister Nasution hoped that Indonesia's FLEGT certified of European Union level can improve the competitiveness of Indonesian products to penetrate new markets. The occasion was also attended by Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar, Ambassador of European Union Commission to Indonesia Vincent Gerant, Business and the Wood Products Industry, as well as Certification Agency. On the occasion, Minister Nasution handed over tokens of appreciation of the first FLEGT licenses to the 10 exporters who represent 100 exporters. Additionally, the tokens of appreciation were also presented to 14 agencies issuing FLEGT licenses since November 15 to 23, 2016. Meanwhile, in a separate place, namely in Cakung East Java, there was also a release of export of wood products by the Indonesian Wood Panel Association consisting of 23 containers to Germany, Britain, and Belgium. In Batang, Central Java, there was also an export released by Indonesian Sawn Timber and Processed Timber Industry Association in the form of a container of plywood products to Belgium and Germany, while the Indonesian Pulp and Paper Association, or APKI, sent a container of paper products to Greece. Minister Nasution said that this is Indonesia's momentum to seize the timber market from competitor countries. According to him, the current forestry sector's contribution to gross domestic product is 1%, while the contribution to the national tax reached 1.3%, with foreign exchange earning from export of as much as $5.4 billion up to August 2016. Meanwhile, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said that Indonesia has shown a commitment to the European Union market and other global markets to implement sustainable timber trading scheme, as well as ensuring the preservation of forests in Indonesia. That was Focus for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Untia Fishery Port in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Saturday morning. He and an entourage arrived at the seaport located on Jalan Saladung, Untia, Makassar around 9 a.m. local time. President Joko Widodo has called for a serious support to attract at least 10 million Chinese tourists to visit Indonesia per year. Defense Minister Ria Misharai Chudu underlined that the government is committed prioritizing domestic-made primary defense equipment system alutsista. The Jakarta Department of Population and Civil Registration opens a population service of EID electronic ID cards at all urban village offices in the capital on Saturday. Following the success of its two previous iterations, Google's Launchpad Accelerator, a program to equip founders with the mentorship and equity fee support, has recruited 6 startups from Indonesia for a 3rd edition, which is set to start at the beginning of January 2017. Banten Beach Festival 2016 is an annual event organized by the Government of Banten Province which aims to highlight various cultures for 4 regions across Banten Province. The implementation of Banten Beach Festival is there take place on Wriston Beach, Anyerat on 25th until 27th of November. Banten Beach Festival 2016 is taking place in Wriston Beach is a grand event organized by Banten Provincial Government as the series of commemoration of the 16th year establishment of Banten Province. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of destinations in West Java province. Stay tuned. Listener, West Java has many amazing destinations to be visited. For tourists who love to hunt beautiful locations for taking photographs, here is the right place, namely Muara Waterfall. Muara Waterfall is also called Apuy Waterfall by local people because this place becomes favorite destination of Apuy Hamlet, Arga Mukti Village, Argapura Sub-District, Majalengka Regency, West Java Province. Muara Waterfall is a kind of tiered waterfall. This waterfall is 73 meters high. At the bottom part of the waterfall, it is 60 meters high, while the upper is only 13 meters. To go to Muara Waterfall from the city by car takes around 40 until 60 minutes, with the distance around 21 kilometers. If you want to come to the waterfall complex, we suggest to use private car because public transportation is still rare. Road access from the center of city to Aram Waterfall is narrow and zigzag. However, asphalt road is good condition. After arriving at the settlement, which is near Muara Waterfall, tourists can park their car. To go to the exact location, tourists must walk around 300 meters passing stairs. Although the way to Muara Waterfall must pass 300 steps, fatigue will not be felt. Wilderness scenery, which is fresh and moist air, will be felt and makes trip enjoyable. Arriving at the location, various facilities have been provided, such as toilet, most until stalls, which sells various kinds of foods and beverages. Thank you. tourists who enjoy the beauty of Muara Waterfall must buy entrance ticket. Here there is no lodging, but you don't have to worry because there is camping ground where tourists can stay at night and also see how natural silence is broken by the roar of a waterfall. Close to Muara Waterfall there is plantation belonging to local people. Tourists who love to do Argo tourism can stop to the location and shop fresh food materials. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Muara Waterfall in West Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, on 19 November 2016, it was enacted as the Indonesia Reading Movement by the Ministry of Education and Culture in Wonosari, Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. Actually, Indonesia Reading Movement is targeted not only in Wonosari, but also 31 other cities and regencies in Indonesia as the target of this movement. For Yogyakarta, Wonosari has been chosen as the place for the enactment of this movement. Furthermore, there is a movement of One Home, One Library. This movement is the follow-up movement of Indonesia Reading Movement in Gunung Kidul. Miscellany Today's edition will inform you about One Home, One Library movement. Listener, people of Gunung Kidul are ready to face challenge to become higher literate city in Indonesia after being chosen as the place for the enactment of Indonesia Reading Movement. The enactment of Indonesia Reading Movement is a momentum for Gunung Kidul because it is one of the target cities for Indonesia Reading Movement. This movement is also a milestone for people of Gunung Kidul to enhance literacy in the region. The young people in Gunung Kidul create reading garden for people in the villages in Gunung Kidul, especially in Kepek Village, Sabtosari Subdistrict. Besides, they also create One Home, One Library movement. It aims to make teaching to not only centralize in people reading garden. In addition, it also facilitates the children who live far away from people reading garden. Listener, to realize that idea, Kepek Village cooperate with highly competent organization, namely Kuncup Mekar People Reading Garden. The cooperation is in the form of supplying books to reading corner in the people's houses. Although the number and type of the book collection are not many, people are keen to read. In fact, the children prefer reading to playing around, and their school achievement is improving. Jabodetabek administration really supports this movement by allocating funds amounting to 550 million rupiah per year to operate village library or reading corner at people's houses. Well, listener, that was Miss Lenny for today's edition. See you again with another interesting topic. Bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Lenny on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Maudy Ayunda. Before we talk about more about Maudy, let's listen to a song entitled Tiba-tiba Cinta Datang.
Tiba-tiba cinta datang kepadaku saat ku mulai mencari cinta. Tiba-tiba cinta datang kepadaku, ku harap dia rasakan yang sama. Getaran membuatku rindu, senang hati.
Listener, you have just listened to the first song from Maudy Ayunda entitled Tiba-tiba Cinta Datang. The cheerful song tells about a woman who falls in love and hopes the man who is loved by her also feels the same thing. This song was Maudy's hit song for her first album entitled Panggil Aku in 2011. Maudy's career in Indonesian entertainment industry began through a film Untuk Rena when she was 12 years old. Her career as singer is equally brilliant in acting. Maudy keeps sharpening her talent until she can create her songs. One of her songs, which created by herself, is Jakarta Ramai. Let's listen to Jakarta Ramai sung by Maudy Ayunda.
Jaka
Listener, that was Maudy Ayunda with the song Jakarta Ramai. This song is proof of her seriousness to pursue her career in Indonesian music industry. Inspiring from the life crowded in the capital city of Jakarta, Maudy Ayunda tries to live into a song. For musical arrangement of this song, Maudy is helped by Tohpati, an Indonesian musician. In pop by Chandra, the song which was released in early 2016, soul's guitar music and also Maudy Ayunda vocal, which is simple and soft, makes this song nice to be enjoyed and heard when relaxing. After being graduated from program Bachelor of Arts in Politics, Philosophy and Economics in Oxford University, Ayunda Faza Maudia released her new single entitled Sekali Lagi, created by herself. This song was released when she graduated from Oxford University. This song tells about to begin a new thing. Listener, to conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to the new song entitled Sekali Lagi from Maudy Ayunda. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Seakan dunia pun
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Cinta tak bertumpu pada status. Semua orang tahu bila kita sepasang kekasih, namun status tak menjamin cinta. Kini ku tahu bila cinta tak berkata, namun hati tak sejalan. Kata-kata tak menjamin cinta. Oh, untuk apa? Untuk apa cinta tanpa kejujuran? Untuk apa cinta?
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
kertasku kan melaju membawa surat cinta bagimu, kata-kata yang sedikit gila, tapi ini adanya. Perahu kertas mengingatkanku betapa ajaib hidup ini, mencari-cari tambatan hati. Kau sahabatku sendiri, hidupkan lagi mimpi-mimpi, cita-cita yang lama ku pendam sendiri. Berdua ku bisa percaya, ku bahagia kau telah terlahir di dunia, dan kau ada di antara miliaran manusia, dan ku bisa dengan radarku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.